Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Once you arrive there, find verse number 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 15. Once you've found it, stand with me, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 15. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but, Brother Dave, I don't know if we're changing something back there. Did we change something? Where it was a moment ago was really good for me, so y'all just have to wait while I have a conversation with the PA man. All right, knucklehead, put it right back where it was. It was really, really good for me. Here we go. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. The last few words in verse number 21 says, hold fast that which is good. The sermon this morning is called, Hold Fast. Hold Fast. Father, bless us today. Meet with us, change us, challenge us. Lord, in a day where Christianity seems to be weaker, weaker, and anemic, may we step up and hold fast to the right things. Help us, Father, not to leave behind the old-time religion. God, help us to hold fast to those things that you instruct us to hold on to, please. Holy Spirit of God, do a work in our midst, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Many times in the Bible, we are instructed or challenged by God to hold on to some things. Five times in the New Testament, God uses the words, hold fast. That's the title of today's sermon. Now, I have a little illustration that I'll use. This baseball bat, it's very special to me. It's a commemorative Ronald Reagan engraved bat. It has my name on it. It says dedicated to Dr. Jeff Owens. And there's only just so many of these, and this is usually wrapped and in plastic and then paper and then in a box. It's a very beautiful, beautiful bat. When I was a kid, I like to play sports. I like to play baseball. I had my very first little league team. Now, I played for the Dodgers, by the way. We had white uniforms, but we had a green cap and green writing on our uniforms. Now, we only had two levels of baseball at that time in the community where I went. We had minor league and we had a major league. Our field was, it was very average, but nice. We had a big backstop. Now, we had a bench on either side. Off to the right, there was a bench where one team would sit, and off to the left, there was a bench where the other team would sit. Now, we didn't have a cage around the dugout. You know, today, there's a cage around it, so when the team is sitting on the bench, you don't get hit with a foul ball. But back when I was playing, they didn't have a cage around it. You went over there and sat at your own risk and hope your team or the other team didn't hit a foul ball over there and knock your teeth out. Now, our very first game ever, it was my very first game to ever play organized baseball. Now, we started playing baseball at 2 months in our community. You know, you were 2 months old and you got your wiffle ball and went in the backyard and beat a ball around. But my very first organized game where I had a uniform on and I had cleats on and it was big stuff. We were playing the Pirates. And my buddy that lived just a block up the street from me, he was on the Dodgers team. His name was Jerry, and Jerry Horn. And it was his very first game. I gotta tell you, Jerry was scared. He was scared to death. When he got up to bat the very first time, you could hear his knees a knocking. I mean, it was like this. He was up there and he was just a shaking like this. And we had been through batting practice and everything, but again, we're just kids. It's our very first game. We're so cute. Most of the pants that they gave us were too big. You know, there was a knot tied in the back of it trying to hold your britches up and everything. And your hat was too big and came down over, covered your ears and everything. But we were, it was big stuff. We were playing organized baseball. Well, Jerry was up there, and he was so nervous. He was just scared to death. And Jerry was always afraid to bat. He was just afraid to bat. And, you know, he'd stand up in the batter's box, and they'd get ready to pitch, and he'd step out. And the coach would say, "Step in!" He'd step in. They'd get ready to pitch, and he'd step out. And it was hilarious. It was just funny watching Jerry. Well, they finally threw a ball in. And Jerry decided he was going to swing at it. So he took his swing. He didn't have a hold of that bat very well. It slipped out of his hands. It came over to our bench. You got guys clearing the bench. And remember, there's no cage around us. About four guys get whacked in the shin with a baseball bat. Now, the coach went out then to speak to Jerry for a couple of seconds. He went out there and he took Jerry's legs and he planted one in the batter's box and another in the batter's box. And he got that bat in his hand and made sure the trademark was in the back so he didn't hit it. And he had him put it up here. He said, "Get your elbow up and get this elbow up and you look out there." And then I heard the coach say, "Now you grip that bat. You grip that bat. You grab a hold of it." Jerry said, "It's going to sting my hands." And the coach said, "It's going to sting your hands if you don't grip it. If you hit that ball and that bat's loose in your hands, it will sting your hands. But you grab that bat. That's the best way to succeed. Grab that bat. Hang on to that bat. Grip it tight." And I never forgot that. I never forgot that. Now, any of you ever play baseball, if you don't grip the bat tight and they throw the ball, then there's a virtual, you go to hit it, there's a vibration, it'll sting your hands. It's an easy way to break a bat, not because you're muscle bound, but because you're a dumb bunny. But you have to grip it right. Now, the coach told him, and we were pretty cool. We even had some rosin, you know, you could put that rosin like talcum powder on your hands to make it stick. And we had one kid that brought a tar rag that had some tar on it, but the coach wouldn't let us because we'd have it all over our face and everything. The kid's out there scratching and you'd be scratch marks all over yourself. But the coach had taught us, grab that bat, grab it tight, hang on to it, hold fast. And then the coach told him, he said, "Now, if you don't grab the bat tight, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt somebody else." And then the coach said, "You about kill the team. I mean, they're all over there. They're not real happy with you right now." Because he said, I remember Jerry saying, "I don't want a bat." And the coach said, "Do you want to go there and set with those guys?" And the guys over there saying, "Bring him over here. We're going to whack him. I mean, he just threw the bat at us." So he had to stay up and bat. But hey, if he didn't grip the bat tight, he could hurt himself. He could hurt someone, but he could hurt the whole team. In the Bible, the New Testament, there are five occasions where the Lord said, "Hold fast." What was he saying? The word "hold fast" in their origin means this. The Lord's saying, if you have something good, hold it down. Keep it there. Pin it. Grab it. Press against it. Don't let it go for any reason. Ladies, I would say to you in this day and age, grip your purse tight. Someone might try to steal it. You know, there's some things that the devil would like to steal away from you and I as Christians. Evidently, the Christian could lose a few things if you don't grab a hold of them. That's why God said, hold tight. He said, you grab that bat and you get your hand on that thing so you don't lose it in life. Those things that are important, we've got to give ourselves to them. When I was in high school, we had to climb a rope. They had a big rope, and I suppose it was probably about an inch and a half in diameter, had a knot tied in the bottom of it, and the top of it was tied at the top of our gym ceiling. And you had to climb that rope by yourself. You had to climb to the top, and you had to touch the beam and then shimmy back down it, or you couldn't pass gym class. It was hilarious watching some of the weenie babies, the cry babies, the whiny boys try to climb that thing. But you know what you had to learn to do? You had to learn when you climbed that rope, you used your hands, but you used your feet, but you used your legs and you used your body so you could climb up. Now, getting down was not near as hard as getting up, although it could be a little more catastrophic if you didn't come down right. I seen more than one boy with what little hair he might have had on his leg be eliminated when he slid down that thing. But if you did not climb that rope and touch the ceiling, you couldn't pass. But you learned to grip it and hang on to it. You know, I think there's some things in the Christian life that you and I should not only grip with our hands, but I think we ought to almost wrap ourselves around them and grab a hold of them and not let them loose. You say, why? Because there are certain things that if you let it go like that bat, you're going to hurt yourself, but you're going to hurt somebody else, or you might hurt the entire team. You say, who's the team? It's the other Christians. It's the people that go to church with you. It's the other people that claim Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the Lord is saying to us, there's some things that you need to grab hold of and don't let the devil knock them out of your hand. Grab a hold of them and be strong about them. We were out passing out the door hangers for our church the other day. And Brother Andrews was with me, and we were going door to door, and I told him this story. I said, in Africa, the missionaries, we were talking about going and knocking on doors. You know, Christians go and we knock on doors to introduce our church to people. I told him, I said, there's a part of Africa where they don't call it door knocking. He said, why? I said, because they don't have doors on their huts and where they live. It's open. You come and go, but there's no door. But what they would do, instead of having a door, they would have a dog. And on that dog, they put the dog on a rope. And there was enough rope that the dog could get inside the house and outside the house, and that dog was their alarm system, and that dog was their protector. And so when the missionaries would go to visit, they didn't go door knocking. They didn't even know what door knocking was because there were no doors to knock on. And you say, what did they call it? They called it hold dogging. You say, why? The missionary would approach a hut of a native, and instead of knocking on the door, that dog would go crazy and come out, and, rawr, 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 and the missionary would yell, hold dog! Hold dog! That's like a doorbell in Africa. And what did it mean? The person living in that hut would grab a hold of that rope and pull that dog back. That way, the missionary could go up to the door and meet the person that was in that hut. Now, believe me, if you've seen the dogs in Africa, you'd want them to hold the dog. I mean, we're not talking about little Fifi and the little Pekingese that go, oh, 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 Evie, Evie, Evie. I know, those are dogs, but they're not on steroids, I'll guarantee you. The ones down there, we're talking about dogs that go, woof, woof. And it blows your toupee right off the top of your head. We're talking about a dog's dog. We're talking about Rambo of the dog world. But when they would say, hold dog, and they would want them to grab a hold of that rope. And you ever have someone holding a dog back and you're thinking, please, hold the dog back, please. Or a mother-in-law, whatever. Now, let me say in the Bible, I noticed that the Lord told us here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, He said, there are some things that you need to hold fast. And I thought, I wonder, to what could He be referring? Right away, my mind, I remember the coach telling Jerry Horn in some very assertive words that I'm sure Jerry still has nightmares. Grab that bat. Hang on to it. You're going to kill the team. You're going to hurt yourself. Get a hold of that and don't let go of it. There's some things that God told you and I we ought to hold fast. Hold fast, old-fashioned Christian. Hold fast, church leadership. Tighten your grip. Hey, parents, let me warn some of you. You better tighten your grip on what you let your kids do and let them mess around with. And if you're too soft, they're going to get hurt. They're not only going to hurt themselves, they're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt somebody else. You better grab a hold of some things and say, I'm not changing what I believe about some things. Tighten your grip. Use both hands. Use your forearms and your body and your feet and your legs like you would climbing that rope. Make sure you hold fast, Christian. For instance, I notice the Bible says that we ought to hold fast in regard to our Christian growth. Let me give you some verses. Revelation 2:25 says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. In verse number 3 of Revelation 3, it says, remember thou therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. In Revelation 3:11 it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast." What's he saying? You have grown in the Lord. You're not the same Christian you used to be. Some of you have come along. There's some things you used to do that you don't do anymore. There's places you used to go that you don't go anymore. There are people that you used to associate with where you've had to back away. And I'm not talking about being rude to them. I'm talking about you've grown in the Lord. And God said, look, you have grown. Now, regrip and don't go backwards. Hold fast to your Christian growth. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, it says, hold fast onto that which you already have. See, there's some things you've already learned. It says in verse 3, hast received and heard. What's it talking about? There's some things that you have learned, that you have seen, and you have grown, and you're a better Christian today than what you were last month. You're a better Christian today than what you were last year. And by the way, if you're not, you ought to be. You ought to be growing. Hey, if there's a time in your life when you are a better Christian than what you are today, you ought to get right with God. You're backslidden. You ought to be growing. You ought to not be the same person that you used to be. You ought to be a better Christian and a better... Hey, you ought to serve God more, not less. But he said, whatever you have there in your hand, you have grown. Get a hold of that thing and don't go backwards. There are all levels of Christian growth represented in this service today. There are some people that just got saved in the last week or so. There are people in this room that have been saved for 60 years. Let me say to every one of us, whatever level of Christian growth you're at, hold fast. Don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. Hold fast to that level of growth that you have achieved. Don't quit at whatever level you have grown to. Tighten your grip. Don't let go. Hang on. You've achieved some things. You didn't used to pass out gospel tracts. You were scared to. But you know what? You've gotten a little courage about yourself, and you have grown, and now you're passing out tracts. Let me tell you something. Hold fast. Don't go backwards. Don't become cowardly about that. There's some of you, you don't think that, you say, preacher, I don't know how to tell someone how to be saved, but you could pass out gospel tracts. You ought to. You ought to do that. You ought to grow to that. But wait a minute. There's some of you, you were passing out tracts 20 years ago. And you still not learned any more than just passing out a gospel tract when it comes to witnessing. It's time for some of you to step up a little bit. You can actually tell someone what that tract says and help them to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It's called soul winning. You could do that. Hey, but there are some of you that say, preacher, I do. I tell people about Jesus Christ. I want to be a soul winner. Let me tell you, you grab a hold of the bat of soul winning, you grip it tight, and don't go backwards. You've learned some things. Hey, everybody is a potential backslider. Everybody is. Now, you don't go backwards. If you've grown, then you make sure you hold tight to your growth. You used to not come to church at all. Now you're coming once a week. Good. Hold tight. Now but you grew beyond coming once a week. Now you're coming twice a week. Good. Hold tight. Don't go backwards. So, well, I used to come twice a week, but now I'm coming three times a week. Good. Hold tight. Don't go backwards. And if you're going backwards, I tell you what you're going to do. You loosen your grip. You get yourself used to missing church. And before long, you're trying to figure out a way to get back in church instead of being in church like you're supposed to. Get your grip. Hang on. Hold tight. Now, there's some things that you can lose. You can lose your joy, but you won't lose your salvation. You can lose your testimony. You won't lose your salvation. You can lose your witness or your peace, but you won't lose your salvation. You lose your fellowship with God and God's blessing on your life. Now, you won't lose your salvation, but I say to everybody in here, there is some Christian growth that you have experienced, and you need to hold tight to that growth. God never intended for you to loosen your grip on that growth. Matter of fact, He wants you to hold tight where you're at, and if there's any movement, it's up, not backwards. If you are climbing a rope, God wants you to go up the rope higher, not give up and slide down prematurely. Hold tight. Hold tight to that bat. Hold tight to your Christianity. I've seen another place where the Bible uses the terms hold tight. We need to hold tight to the truth of the Word of God. Hold tight to the truth of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, it says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard. You know what the most sound words are anywhere in the universe? In the book. The only book that God ever wrote. What are we talking about? The old King James Bible. God says, you hold tight. You take hold of that Word of God and you hold tight to the Word of God. Paul writes to Timothy and tells him to tighten his grip on the truth that Paul had given him. Hey, there's some of you, you came across some truths. Hey, this is Paul telling Timothy to hang tight to what Paul had taught Timothy. Now, there are some people in here, I'm your pastor, and in a way, I'm the only person that's been your pastor, because you're a newly saved person and you've not been in church much. Well, thank God for that. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad I'm your pastor. You know, there's some of you, though you've been at another church or two, and you were taught some truths at that church. Can I tell you something? You're not supposed to be giving up the truth that you were taught. You're to be adding to the truth that you were taught. There's some people you need to regrip. You say, well, back in my other church, I was right with God. Well, then grab the bat and get your hand back on the truth and get yourself right with God. Stop coming up with excuses as to why today you don't serve God and you used to. You know, the Bible teaches that Timothy's grandmother, her name was Lois. She had taught Timothy some truth. Paul, in the book of Timothy, Paul was saying, you need to hold fast to the truth that your grandmother had taught you from the Bible. My grandma, I call her Grandma Virginia. I'll never forget this. Grandma Virginia was really something. One day I was spending the night at my grandparents' house. It was a Saturday night. And I watched Grandma Virginia go into the restroom. The bed where I slept was right by the main restroom. And I was lying there in my bed. Grandma Virginia had gone into the restroom. And I got to hearing something. I wasn't sure what was going on. Before long, being a nibby kid, I was over there against the door. I had my ear up against the door, and I could hear her in there, and she was crying. And then I heard her. She's saying, "Dear God, save my husband before I die. Save my husband. Help him to get up tomorrow morning and go to church." And I heard her for over an hour beg God to save her family members. I thought, wow. I heard her get up, and I could tell she was coming toward the door, and I ran and got in my bed. You kids all know what I'm talking about. I covered it up, made it look like I was asleep and everything. I watched Grandma Virginia go to church until, I mean, they virtually carried her into the church building. And she went to church until she virtually died. That's how committed she was. I'm glad I seen a grandma act like that. You know what? I take hold of that and I think, boy, I'm so glad that I seen some. I never want to forget that. I'm not going to swap that for the new anemic, maybe I'll be there, maybe I won't kind of Christianity of this day. Boy, when they opened the doors, old grandma, she was dying from cancer, and they had to pick her up and carry her out of the car and bring her in and set her down, but she was there. I'm not going to let loose of that. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to grab a hold of that. I never want to forget what Grandma Virginia taught me. Timothy's mother, her name was Eunice. Timothy had been taught some things from her, if you know the scripture. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about the truth that we have been taught. We need to grab a hold of it. We've been given the example of preachers and the example of grandparents and parents. But Timothy's mother, her name was Eunice. She had taught Timothy some things. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, you grab a hold of what your mom taught you and don't you give that up. I sign, sometimes people ask me if I'll sign their Bible. I always sign a verse. It's Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. I've signed that in thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles through the years. I got that verse from my mom. My mom's favorite verse is Galatians 6, 2. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I never want to forget that. I never want to take my eyes off the fact that as a Christian, it's my job to help other Christians and help them with their burdens and help them with their heartaches. I don't want to miss that. And I learned that from my mom. I want to wrap my hands around that truth of helping other people, and I never want to give that up. I don't want to loosen my grip. Now, I'll tell you, if I loosen my grip, I'm liable to fling that bat. I'm liable to hurt myself. I'm liable to hurt somebody else. Hey, I could hurt my church if I let loose of the truths that I've been given by God in my past. And you know something? There are some of you. Your mama taught you better than the way you're living. Your mama taught you to be faithful to church. Your mama taught you to shut your mouth and not to cuss like that. Your grandma taught you better. Your grandma taught you how to live. What's wrong with you? You need to go back to that truth that God gave you through your mama and that truth that God gave you through your grandma. You say, well, my old preachers, some of your old preachers taught you to live differently than the way you're living. And you may think that you're getting away with it, but you have loosened your grip and you're hurting yourself. And you're not only going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt somebody else, and you hurt the cause of Christ. Regain your grip, Christian. I've been taught a few things through the years from some old-time preachers. It is my job to grab a hold and hang on to that. I have no intention to stop throwing a fit about the purity of the King James Bible. I have no intention of giving up on the subject of soul winning in the Baptist church. I have no intention of letting the healers, feelers, and squealers steal away from us the pure doctrine of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm here to tell you, God put a bat in my hand and God said, grip that thing. Don't let it loose. Hang on, hold tight, Christian. There's some things that you and I have learned we need to hold tight. Hold tight. Some of you young people, you go to the public school, you hold tight to your belief in Jesus Christ. You hold tight to your belief in the Bible. Tighten your grip. As you go to work, there's some of you, you go to work and you live at work just like the other animals that are there. You go to work and you talk just like the filthy people that are lost. You go to work and act just like the people that are lost and serving the devil. I'm telling you, you re-grip that bat. You stop talking that way. You stop acting that way. You stop living that way. Re-grip! Re-grip, Christian! Get a hold of that thing. As your family, there's some of you, you have family members that will oppose your Christian life. Be kind, but don't give up. Grip that bat. If you have a family member that criticizes you because you want to serve God and you're different, you be kind to them and you love them, but you don't give up on Jesus. You grip that bat. Tighten your grip on the truth. Tighten your grip. Some of you need to tighten your grip on your Bible reading. No wonder you're backslidden. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't come to church. Get a hold of that thing and get yourself straightened out. Regrip. Hold tight, Christian. Hold tight to the truth that you've been given. Hold tight to your Christian growth. And if you have slipped, you get back in there, grab a hold of that thing, and you reestablish your Christianity. Thirdly, I see the word hold tight used in regard to our profession. Our profession. Now, I'm not talking about your profession as a carpenter or your profession as a plumber. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The word profession here is defined using three words, out, same, and word. Our profession means that which we should, our profession means that we should have the same words coming out of our mouth as we grow, and as we grow in grace as when we first got saved. Here's what it's talking about. When we first get saved, we're excited about it. People get saved, they're excited, they're saved. But then, your salvation, if you're not careful, becomes old hat to you. At first you got saved, you want to tell people you got saved. Well, did you know you're just as saved today as what you were the day you got saved? Matter of fact, it just keeps getting better and better, not worser and worser. So if you're saved today, you ought to still be excited about your salvation. Can I recommend something to you? There are a whole bunch of you. If that bat right there pictures your salvation, it's time for some of you to re-grip that thing. Take a good long look at what God's done for you. You were on your way to hell. You deserved to go to hell. You were destined to burn in hell. And Jesus reached down and saved your sin-sick soul. He made it so you don't have to go to hell. He made it so you're not going to burn for all eternity. And you need to re-grip on your salvation. And you need to say, you know what, I'm saved. And I'm going to grab a hold of that thing. And I'm not going to forget about it. And I'm going to be as excited today about my salvation as the day that I got born again. Do you remember back when you realized you were on your way to hell? And you realized that you were unsaved? Do you remember the day that you said, Jesus, I want you to save me? And you really got born again? And how excited you were that you had been on your way to hell and now you're saved and you're thinking, wow, what a relief. Guess what, folks? You still have the relief. Re-grip the testimony of your salvation and tell people you're born again and get excited about this thing called salvation. For some reason, the older we get in the Lord, the less we want to profess Him. Do you remember when you told everyone about church? Ah, my church, I'm excited about my church. I like my church. I love my church. Come to my church. Now you just hope to not get in a conversation about it. Regrip, Christian. Regrip those truths that were given to you. Regrip that testimony. Do you remember you used to want to win contests down at the church? Now you just hope they're not brought up. Because you don't want to be embarrassed by your lack of interest and involvement. You've heard me tell this story before, but I like telling it because I like hearing it. So I'm going to tell it again. We had a revival at our church. And the pastor said he was going to give a gospel quartet on record. You say, what's a record? Record is a big, round, black, flat thing. It looks like a CD on steroids. You go to the Goodwill, go all the way in the back, and you'll find some records back there. It got Elvis Presley's name on them and names like that. Well, he had this record at a group called the Florida Boys. And he showed us that record album. He said, whoever brings the most visitors to the revival, you're going to win this record album. I said, I'm winning that. I want to get that thing. So I went to school, invited some people. They came to church. Pastor wrote it down. He said, okay, everybody that brought visitors tonight, you stand up. And we wrote it down. And he said, contest's still on at the end of the week. Somebody's going to get this record album. He held that thing out there, dangling the carrot before the donkey. And I said, I'm going to win that thing. I want that thing. So I went to school the next day, and I invited everybody I could to come. I said, you need to come to our church. We're having a revival. You can help me. I'm going to win this record album. It's this quartet. It's called the Florida Boys. I'm going to get that thing. And so I brought visitors. He said, everybody brought visitors, stand up. I stood up. He wrote my name down, wrote the number of visitors. We did that on Wednesday. I brought my visitors. We stood up. He wrote my name down. Thursday night, he said, we're going to give this thing away. Who's going to win? Stand up if you brought visitors. I brought visitors. He wrote my name down. Saturday night, the very last night. Now, it's funny. He told the night before, he said, it's really close, folks. Somebody's going to win this thing. I had no idea. I might have been the only person in the whole place bringing visitors, but he said, it's really close. You better work double dog hard. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work double dog hard, and I'm going to win that thing. So the next night, I brought my visitors, and finally he said, okay, it's over. And the winner is Jeff Owens. I stood up. I was so proud. He said, come up here and get your record album. I went up. I got my record album. I was driving home that night on the way home from church and realized I don't even have a record player. But I won that record album. Do you remember back when you got excited when the church was doing something? You got excited because you wanted to participate. And you said, that's going to be fun. That's going to be exciting. But you know what? You lost your grip, didn't you? You lost your grip. And you're a little bit like Jerry Horn. Jerry says, hey, you step in the batter's box and then you step out. You step in and you step out. I don't know what you're afraid of. But the coach said, you step in there, you grip that thing, and you get in the game. You get in the game. You get out there and you make something happen. And Jerry said, I'm afraid it's going to hurt my hands. And the coach said, it'll hurt your hands if you don't get a grip. And some of you think you're doing yourself a favor by being so loose about what you used to believe and so loose about the way you used to behave. No, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. Grip that thing. You're not only going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt somebody else. Hold fast. Hold fast. We are to hold fast to our profession. We are to hold fast to the truths that have been given to us. We're to hold fast to our Christian growth. Not only that, and I've got to hurry. The Bible says we're to hold fast to our confidence or to our boldness. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, but Christ is as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing. You know what the word confidence there means? Boldness. You got to be confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. The longer we're saved, if we're not careful, we'll begin to lose a little bit of our boldness. It's time for some of you to re-grip the bat of your Christianity and get some of your boldness back. I'll tell you something. When I was a younger preacher, I could care less what people thought when I preached. I will call the roll.
I'll tell you, rock and roll music's out of hell, and country music will rot you out, and you ought not be stripping down and going to the beach and running half naked everywhere you're at, and you ought not be stealing and cheating and lying. You ought not be acting like that. But now that I'm older, I don't say things like that. Some of you, when you were younger Christians and you didn't really care what anybody thought, you had a boldness about you. But you've lost it, haven't you? Now you're a success. Now you're traveling with the bigwigs and you've got some popularity down at work and you've got some respect. You're afraid to be old-time religion and you're afraid to stand for what's right. You lost your boldness, didn't you? Regrip, Christian. Stop being afraid. Are you born again? Then tell people you're born again. Are you old-time religion? Then tell people you're old-time religion. We lose our boldness. Folks, I'm not saying you have to be mean to people. I hope I didn't hurt my back. I'm not saying you have to be mean to people. I'm not saying you have to try to abuse people. But I am telling some of you, you need to regrip. You've lost your boldness. You don't have to be rude about your separation stand, but you ought not be a coward about it. You don't have to apologize for being a good Christian. I don't apologize that I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I don't apologize that I believe the King James Bible. I don't apologize that I believe in soul winning. And look, folks, all you have to do is when they ask you to go out to lunch and they want you to drink, you just tell them, I'm a Christian, I don't drink. You don't have to grab them by the throat. I know it's tempting. Hey, if you don't go to the nightclub, tell them you don't go to the nightclub. And I'm not telling you to be arrogant. I'm telling you, have confidence in the kind of Christianity you're supposed to live. There's a way to be wise and bold without being a jerk. You don't have to argue standards with people, but you ought to live them. You ought to live them. You're supposed to be different than the world. If you're looking for a church that believes you can act and behave just like everybody else out there, you haven't found it here. I would have to betray the Word of God to tell you, go do what you want. Say, but we live under grace. You do. You got saved by grace, but God's got all sorts of things in this book you're supposed to live as a saved person. Hold fast. Then I'm finished, but I've got to throw this point in here. The Bible teaches us to hold fast to our doing of good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. He's talking about good deeds. It's delightful to me when I see people holding fast to the doing of good deeds. And so you all know, nobody has paid their dues in regard to serving Jesus. So I've been in the church a long time. Well, I don't care if you've been in the church since Moses came over on the ark. You still, if you're alive, you're supposed to be serving God. Well, if you only knew what I gave through the years, well, I'm glad for you. But if you're still alive, you're still supposed to be serving God. Some of you need to regrip and say, I'm going to start serving God again. I want to hold fast to that which is right. I know one of our folks. I watched one of our bus captains bought a tie, gave it to a boy that wanted a tie to wear at church. That's a good deed. That things like that ought to happen. Shoes on feet, food on a table. Tough and economic times, but did you know God doesn't say anywhere if it's tough economic times, you stop being good. Now you keep being good to people. Good deeds are still popular with God. Hold fast, Christian. You grab that thing, and you grip up tight on it. There's some of you, what you're not thinking about is look right this way, if you will. If you're not careful, you need to realize something. There's some of you, you've loosened your grip. And, you know, I'm glad of this. I'm glad the coach said to Jerry, you know, I remember Jerry throwing the bat. Well, he threw the bat. He almost knocked everybody out. The coach brought the bat right back out there, put it in his hands and say, you're up. Jerry said, I want to go to the bench. I don't want to do this. My coach made him step back up. Best thing the coach ever did. Now, at that moment, as the coach was being a little loud, a little assertive, and a little aggressive, that coach was Jerry's best friend on the face of the earth. Now, I have to apologize. If you want a mamby-pamby preacher that puts his tail between his legs and he doesn't raise his voice, and he's afraid to tell you the truth, you're going to have to keep looking. Because it's my job to tell you the difference between right and wrong and to do it with some boldness. And a preacher that'll tell you the truth and a preacher that'll irritate you just a little bit. It'll make it so you can step back up and get a hit in life and not destroy yourself and a bunch of other people. I'm glad the coach made Jerry get up there. You know, I played baseball then for the next 5 or 6 years. Played on the very same team that Jerry did because we only lived a block apart and they divided us up a lot based on where we lived. I watched Jerry turn into a power hitter. And I wonder, at first, nobody wanted to be on Jerry's team because he wouldn't grip that thing and he didn't have backbone, he didn't have tenacity, he didn't have courage. But I watched Jerry get some of it and he said, okay, let's do this. He'd step up there and we'd all be saying, hey, Jerry's up, this is going to be good. Back then it was Jerry's up, duck! But by the end of Jerry's career, Jerry had it down. Now some of you, you need to pick that thing up, you need to grip it and decide. You're going to hold fast for Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, let me recommend you get on the team. Jesus will save you. He'll take you to heaven when you die. And then He'll help you thereafter to hold on to some things that will make a difference. Right now, the thing you need is Jesus. If you're unsaved, I wish you'd trust Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Let me ask this question first. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, no, I don't know that. Pray for me, Pastor. I do not know that I'm born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. All right? Then let's do this. If you are saved today, is there something in your life where you've loosened your grip? There are things you used to do for God and ways you used to serve God, but you've loosened your grip. You're hurting yourself. You're going to hurt, and you probably already hurt some other people. You don't realize it, but you because you're not holding fast, you're not gripping that Christianity, your testimony. There's so many things. Is it possible there's something in your life that you need to grab hold of and re-strengthen your grip on it? Who here would say, Pastor, as you were preaching, God reminded me of some things I used to believe and do for Jesus. I've just loosened my grip. I need to re-grip for Jesus Christ. There are hands up already. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I got to re-grip. I got to get back in the game. Well, then if you need the altar as a Christian, don't you be afraid to come. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. If you're going to get baptized today, you come. We'll help you to make that public. If you've been saved and baptized and you want to join the church, you come today. There'll be men down front to receive you. The pianist is going to begin to play at this time. If you need the altar, stand to your feet. And if you need to come, you come. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need to become a member of this church because you've been saved and baptized already, you come. If you've already been saved, you just need to make it public. You come. Coming today that are being saved. We have people coming today that will follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Remain standing, pray, ask the Lord if there's something maybe you ought to get straightened out. Boy, I have swung the bat when I didn't have a good grip on it. When my hands were loose and whacked that ball, it made me not to want to bat again. It hurt. It stung. It rang in the vibration in my hands. What was the deal? I need to grab a hold of that thing tight to make a difference. Take a better stroke at the ball. And some of you need to grab hold properly of your Christian life. Somebody needs to grab a hold of your Bible reading and grab a hold of your prayer life and grab a hold of this thing of telling others about Christ and grab a hold in regard to your faithfulness to God's house. One more time through the song, and then we'll help make these decisions public. This service and the ones to follow, you'll have every service. There'll be a couple men that will come down to help receive you. We have ladies to take names in every service.